Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, host of the Unscripted SEO podcast, doing a special edition of Business and SEO with Greg Digneo. Did I say that right?
Digneo.
I could have been so smooth with that, but it's unscripted. It's okay.
It's all right.
Errors are fine. We're going to make it up as we go along, but there's a lot 100%. To touch on. I think there are so many podcasts out there about the algorithm, you know, oh, the Google link did this, this update did that. But when it comes down to it, SEO, search engine optimization, is an industry and a business because of the people and how we approach selling that service, providing a service to end clients, or providing it in-house to ourselves. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of the business side of SEO. And I know that you do a lot, but go ahead and give yourself an introduction, a little bit of history, and then we'll choose one of the many branching paths of SEO to explore.
Yeah, for sure. So I had an agency, a marketing agency from like 2008 to 2015. And one of my clients was a company called Time Doctor. And around 2015, I started to burn out from my agency. And the guys at Time Doctor were like, yo, why don't you just come work with us? And I was like, I kind of jumped on that opportunity. I was really excited about it. And that's where I started to really get into SEO. We kind of stumbled into it. We weren't really doing it. So we just stumbled into it. We wrote like a post. I think it was like an alternatives post or a competitors post or a comparison post, like what we would today consider a bottom of the funnel kind of post.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget exactly what it was, but we kind of were tracking it. And most of our content up till then did absolutely nothing. But this one post, we started to see like, you know, a month after we published it, we got a new user from it. And then a month after that, we got two. And then it started to rank higher. We got three and four users just from this one post. And so we were like, this is actually working. Nothing else, none of the other content stuff that we're doing is really working, but this is working. So we doubled down on that. For the next 7 years, we grew the business from under a million ARR to 10 million ARR with pretty much exclusively SEO. And then after I left, I started an agency in 2021 called Content Guppy, and I basically deploy the playbook that I learned at Time Doctor across other SaaS companies. And so that's what I do now, is I grow revenue for SaaS companies through SEO conversion and growth channels like that. Yeah.
So when it comes to SEO and business, obviously there's kind of different pieces of service that are sold by agencies to the end user. So that's a model in and of itself, right? Like as an agency or as a freelancer, you're kind of looking at what are the pieces of SEO and how are they sold and how are they valued? So when you're approaching that conversation, how does that look from your side?
Yeah, so there's basically three pieces that you're selling. There's basically a technical SEO service, link building service, or a content production service. Like those are, there's other stuff that we could talk about and things like that, but those are strategy kind of fits is like the overarching umbrella above all of them. But like those are basically the three-ish pieces of services that you're selling. The thing that you have to do as a salesperson or a person selling SEO services, whether you're in-house selling it to your boss or you're an agency selling it to a client, is you want to tie that back to revenue as fast as you possibly can. So, for instance, you have a post, a keyword, or a keyword topic that you're like, okay, this topic can get 500 searches a month. What does that actually mean in revenue if we rank it in the top three? What does that mean in revenue if we rank it in the top at the top one or the first position? That's what sells the service. It's not like, oh, we're going to do links, we're going to build you content, we're going to do this or whatever. It's basically like we're going to increase your revenue by doing these three things, and that's how you sell it.
So. So that means that we navel gazers, us algorithm chasers, us link hounds, content creators, and strategists really need to take note, because it goes back to, you know, kind of a bigger theme of understanding that search engine optimization is part of a business model, and its home is in the marketing department. yes, largely. But it doesn't end there, does it? I mean, I've seen a lot of benefit of tapping into and relieving some of the problems that sales teams have in lead quality or in the support department for SaaS companies. Having to have a full-on staff of people constantly answering questions about your SaaS is a lot easier if you have a knowledge base that's indexed and people can search it and find those answers in Google, then it does double duty, right, of surfacing for managing to be your first support agent out there so that you don't have to have as many tickets, right?
For sure. It definitely helps in that regard as customer support. It also helps with like product development too. So for instance, if you're SaaS and you know that there's a popular integration mechanism that people are searching for within your area, like for instance, a popular CRM that needs a billing agent, billing SaaS connected to it, right? You happen to be a billing SaaS. Well, now you know that people are searching for billing apps with Pipedrive or billing apps with Salesforce or whatever it is, billing apps with HubSpot. Well, now you could integrate with those popular CRMs and capture that search data, that search volume as well. So it definitely helps with some product development as well. But going back to your initial point, it definitely helps with sales for in a number of reasons. One is the inbound marketing qualified leads, for sure. That's really beneficial. Like, so, you know, you bring in 100,000 visitors to your blog or to your website, you could expect a bunch of them to convert into an MQL, whether that's somebody signs up for a demo, signs up for your product, whatever it is. But on the other side, where it really helps, and I didn't understand this until we built a sales team at Time Doctor, is it really helps with your outbound as well. Because what typically happens is we would reach out to people and to executives or to HR managers or whatever, and they would say, oh yeah, we've read the Time Doctor blog, or yeah, we saw Time Doctor on this listicle of best time management software. So a lot of our outbound leads were no longer outbound sales were no longer cold emails. They weren't the warmest of introductions, but the people who were reaching out to us, who we were reaching out to, were very much a part of they very much knew who we were and were tangentially into our ecosystem because they had signed up for our newsletter and forgotten about it, or because they had read the blog one time, or because they had heard us on a podcast. So all those like kind of SEO plays that we did really sort of helped out that sales as well. So it helps both ways, helps both the outbound, and then it also obviously helps the inbound as well.
I think that's an interesting to break out for a second, because that actually is a reflection of brand and brand awareness. And, you know, as much of a, like, it is a knife at the throat of SEOs at the moment of brand's role and how focused Google has been on surfacing large brands. And there are those who hypothesize that the helpful content update, that a portion of it really was about the percentage of branded clicks versus non-branded clicks as a percentage of their click profile, which is not, you know, it's really difficult to bear out that theory, but it does kind of reflect some of that bigger value. And I had a conversation with Morty about brand and talked with Garrett and the impact of brand. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something where it is an intangible, but it certainly seems like something that including that in the process, the description of SEO as you're selling trying to fulfill it.
Jeremy, do you use Ahrefs or SEMrush? Which one do you use?
Yes.
Both. All right. Do you use Moz?
No.
Okay. So if a person from Moz reached out to you, whether you want to use the product or not, are you like just cold? The sales guy from Moz reached out to you. Are you not going to be like, hey, let me see what this is about? Hey, Jeremy, we have a new feature that I think you're really going to love. It's going to help you with XYZ. Would you like more information? Are you not at the very least going to be like, yeah, send me the info? Whether you're interested or not, you're going to be like, hey, send me the info, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I think I saw a tweet last week of someone saying, like, what's the most familiar SEO SaaS that's probably the least used? And it is Moz, because they were ubiquitous.
Right.
And now they're a bit of a faded giant because Rand's off doing his Spark Toro thing, doing awesome stuff, getting lots of data for us. But
regardless, you know the Moz brand, so you're gonna if they send you a helpful email or an email that's like resonates with you, you're not gonna blow it off.
That's true.
Because of their brand.
I'm much more likely. It'd be like if you received an email from Nike. You know, you're much more like, I got an email from Nike. Yeah, there's definitely that representation. So it's interesting to think through. We haven't talked about search volume. We haven't talked about ranking or any of those factors. But this comes back to one of the value aspects of SEO that probably should be a larger part of our discussions going forward, and understanding what are the larger ways for us to multiply the reach of the brand and not just focus on how much search volume comes to these keywords, but also like how much of the market or how accurate are we being about representing ourselves in the market?
I think search volume is kind of the most overrated metric in this entire sphere. I don't care about search volume so much as, I mean, you and I both know somebody who gets 300,000 visitors a month or 200,000 visitors a month, and 90% of their search traffic means squatah. It's just totally irrelevant. So of those 200,000 visitors, it's like, who cares? Because only 2,000 or 3,000 of those visitors actually are valuable to the business. So we go after like those 10 searches a month, those 20 searches a month, those 50 searches a month all the time. Because if it's relevant to the business, that's what we care about, is how relevant is that topic to the business. If there's 10 people that are searching for that topic, and those are 10 people that we want to talk to every single month, then we write that content. And then you start, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but like usually like 10 searches a month usually winds up being 20 visitors a week, give or take. So it really winds up being like 80 searches a month to that 80, you know, traffic, about 80 to the article. And an article that converts, you know, it converts 2%. It's not tons, but we're talking about one or two new users a month. Here's where it gets exciting. Every business has 10, 15, 20, 40 of those types of topics, right? So now those 80 visitors are becoming 800 visitors, 8,000 visitors, converting at 2%. All of a sudden that those 4 visitors become 40, 400 new clients a month. And that's where it gets exciting.
So
that's where we focused. Those folks could have the top of the funnel. So here's an example. If you're a CRM, one of the search terms in the CRM business is going to be, what is a CRM? Right, it's the single most useless term in the industry, because if somebody is Googling what is a CRM, they are not going to buy a CRM from you, right? They're not spending $50, $100, $200 a month to buy to buy your CRM. So we give those we will gladly give those to other companies you write your what is your CRM term.
I think Michael Buckby also made a good point. His interview's not out yet, but we were talking about how you break out the buckets of what AI-powered search results do really well, and that's answering that informational bucket of it's either a yes, no, does it do this or doesn't, or it's like a short fact. And those, you know, those represent like half of all search volume. So we need to kind of let those pieces go and push ourselves further down the funnel because, you know, like informationally, you know, the AI levels of tools are going to be more ubiquitous and they're going to be answering those questions. So
100%. And like, where we're focused a lot of our AI, like our efforts on, and it's not tons yet, but I think we're going to be doing a lot more of it this coming year, but we have to be, is like what we'll see is like, somebody will be like, hey, what is the best CRM? right? We want to be answered there. Like, that's where we want, like, our clients to be. What is the best, you know, billing software for SaaS, right? That's where we want to come up. Not what is a CRM, not what is billing software. Which, like, we don't care about that.
Which is a shift away, and it's a pivot from the bigger content marketing game that we have usually seen, which is, you know, write about everything up here, write about everything in the sun, and it'll generate traffic. Yeah, and it'll drip down, but you got to have you link it down and you try to drive deeper into the funnel.
Yeah.
It seems like the business model is moving away from that as that gets eaten up in chunks. You know, I worked with CopyPress and they did content marketing at scale. And, you know, one of the largest job board companies out there had a multi-million dollar level engagement with them, you know, a few years back. And, you know, that pivoted to them using AI generated content, and then eventually AI itself is starting to answer those top level queries. And so, like, the level of investment and the return on that investment is not, it's a changing game.
Yeah, I used to think, like, we used to do that for, like, the branding purposes of Time Doctor as well. We used to be like, hey, we're going to do all things remote work. Now though, I think the shift is, We're gonna be on Reddit, right? We're not gonna worry about that stuff on our blog. We're gonna put that stuff on Reddit. We're gonna put that stuff on other publications. We're gonna write about that in podcasts. We're gonna talk about that in YouTube channels, things like that. We're gonna talk about that with some sort of PR play, like those kinds of things. And that's how we'll cover that, and that's how we'll get that's how you'll get your brand out there. And then when it's like, hey, best remote work software or something like that, we want to come up there, and we'll get placed there because we'll be in every single hey, 10 best remote software tools list poster that we could get. So we'll get that AI, we'll get the answer in the AI, plus we'll also get all the traffic, we'll get the referral traffic from those search terms and things, so from the list posts. So that's how we sort of think about that now.
So I posted this the other week of that at its core, SEO is about adding to the entity of a business that a search engine can understand. And I pulled back on those two sides from ranking in Google, but also from the website. Because I think a lot of our focus since, you know, 2000 has been do the website, do everything on the website. Oh, yeah. And links. And, like, the only thing you care about is the link and then the website. And I think we put our blinders on and say, OK, I'm going to optimize the site. I'm going to look at the page. I'm going to look at this, and then I'm going to get a link. And I think as an industry, we need to zoom that out, these as vehicles. The arms of an octopus reaching out and grabbing things.
I'm not an e-commerce person, but, like, so it's not my area of expertise, so I don't know tons about it. But I do know that, you know, you're in TikTok, you're in Pinterest, you're on Instagram, right? Like, so you're on YouTube, right? And then, so that's where your brand is. And then that all focuses back into that one big cohesiveness of that is SEO. It's no longer, like you said, hey, website link. It's, you know, you're in B2B SaaS, right? You're on Reddit, you're answering questions on LinkedIn, and you have your website, and then you're doing your offsite SEO in other sites, and not in so much the form of guest posts, but in the form of, again, being top 10 software tools, right? Remote software tools, Time Doctor on that, and all those posts. I mean, no, not to totally give away the secret sauce here, but no matter how much you have to pay for it, it's almost always worth it.
I think there's attribution of budget too for those things that has been kind of locked away or siloed. And we tend to think, you know, like, we've been trained that buying links is a naughty thing.
Yeah.
But when you look back to, you know, before 2008, you know, or 2005, you know, look at the 90s. Like, how did people get people's awareness? Well, you paid to have your content appear in a popular magazine. You know, you paid for an interview on a popular radio show. And so, like, the the Google prohibition, and it's reasonable. There's a reasonable aspect of it because we have people in the industry who, you know, look for exploits and look to push the, you know, find the easiest way to do X, Y, or Z. But that has led to kind of a reluctance to think about placement of your article for the value of the traffic, you know.
Yeah.
Where is the audience at? How can I tap into an existing audience is a much more valuable approach to SEO than simply relying on, I'm going to make this so that I my only reason to get traffic is because Google rewards it with traffic. And that's even more painfully true because Google's HCU specifically, you know, a specific sub-niche at first that said explicitly, if you made this content just to rank in Google, then you're eligible for this site-wide penalty. And that's, you know, that's an existential threat on one layer. It makes sense in another bigger picture of we've really, like, the value of the content, the value of what we do as SEOs, you know, we shouldn't just be looking to set up a site that has scraped all of the Adventure Time PAAs and used AI to rewrite those answers and slap them on our own site and fill it full of ads. Like, that was what they were really targeting at first of like, hey, this is programmatic SEO and it exists as celebrity birthdays. Like, it literally has no purpose but to be 100%. The answer for it. So you kind of have to extrapolate and say, okay, well, if Google is saying that content meant just to exist to get search engine traffic to be monetized is something that they're continuing to try to quash, that's not going to let up. You know, that's going to be something that we're going to have to keep in mind going forward. So how can we still optimize? How can we optimize for search when we know that creating content just to rank is something that we've done for so long, but now we need to take a different approach? And I think considering that brand perspective, that value perspective, the audience acquisition perspective, maybe starts us down that path.
Yeah, the other thing is this, SEOs can't, like, what are you doing with the traffic when you get it to your site? Like, that's as important as actually getting the traffic. Like, so again, my agency, we don't look at, like, yeah, getting the traffic there is kind of one thing, but that and SEO is just that vehicle to get the traffic to the site, to provide value to the reader, to answer their question and all that stuff, get the attention. But then the other half of what we do is now what?
Yeah, that's not the end of the day. And so
again, for most companies, it's the smart thing to do is to build their, like, there's that traffic now and build their own distribution. Right? Because the secret is to your audience here is don't rely on SEO. Stop. Leverage it for the length that you can and build your own distribution channel, right? Build a 100,000 person newsletter, a 10,000 listenership podcast, build a 10,000 subscriber, 100,000 subscriber YouTube channel with that traffic. Do those things that you can then own that distribution. Because the truth is you don't own the distribution that you're getting from Google. And so don't rely on it. Leverage it for all it's worth. Leverage it as best you can. Focus 100. I mean, that's, again, for my clients, we do content, we do links. And that's like probably 30% of what we do. The other 70% of what we do is helping them build their distribution channels.
Now, that's an interesting way to put it and an interesting way to approach it, too, because...
Yeah, like I will say this. If you're an SEO and you're focused on links and you're focused on content, like you were saying, you're siloed, you're not going to exist in a year or two, maybe three. You're going to be 100. Like, if you're chasing algorithms and you're chasing, hey, oh my, let me sweat this core update, or let me sweat this algorithm change, right? Like you're not going to exist in 3 years.
That's a hard thing to hear, but I think we need to hear it because, like, you're right. Like, when I think about it, you know, like, when you do those, use SEMrush, use Ahrefs, and you see, you know, those search volume numbers in your keyword research document, like, you know, SERK, like, gathers search volume and gathers those buckets. But thinking that that water wheel is...
Let me ask you a question, right? I think I know the answer to this, so I'm asking a question I think I know the answer to. But what was your best channel for acquisition for SEO Arcade?
You know the answer because you gave it to
exactly.
Me. I got one link from you. I sent more conversions for my SaaS tool than I've ever received from.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, Jeremy, I have an article on blog called SEMrush Alternatives. As an experiment, about half a year ago, 6-8 months ago, we put SEO Arcade at the top of the SEMrush Alternatives article. Now that, at last I heard, it was converting, it was getting 110 trials a month. Is the last I heard. I don't know what it is now, but just from that one article, that one link, and that again. So when we're talking about SEO, like those are the things that I, as an SEO, want to leverage, right? Like search traffic is awesome. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but like start looking at where else can we start to get traffic from as an SEO, off page, on page, other avenues, Reddit, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, things like that.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, it's that broadening of the perspective of we should be looking at, you know, what, where is search aggregating in my industry and niche and periphery, not just to be like, I want to be that one source, but also where are the playgrounds? Where are the users? Where are the audience? Where is the audience? And what is the intent of that audience? Because if there's a particular aspect of what it is that my SaaS does, my tool does, my service does, my company does, and they're getting that answer from somewhere else that has authority topically, people are having genuine conversation about it, then it is search engine optimization for me to find a way to get listed there, find a way to tap into that, whether that's paid ad, content placement, creating a relationship with that host, with the owner of that company, co-marketing. You know, there's so many...
There's so many opportunities.
So many opportunities. The idea of... it's kind of offensive when I think about it, of like, you know, in 2012 to 2018, how many people were like, oh yeah, to generate links, just send cold emails to all of these people and basically trick them into giving you a link, you know? And it's like, well, hold on. What if instead of trying to trick them into creating a single link on a single article one time, what if I found a way to connect with that other business entity that's not directly competing with me, and we find a way to share that audience? Because I'm sure I'm reaching part of their audience too, and I can send it back. I've got an email list, and I can offer, hey, do you want to trade sends to your email list, to my email list for your 100%. Email list? You know, can I create an article that helps describe your business? And, you know, there's kind of a reciprocity thing that we've kind of in the fight. There are 10 rankings. There are only 10 rankings. There can be only 10. That Highlander mentality means you trying to kill off everybody else who ranks in the SERP and see everybody else as an enemy.
As an enemy, right.
As opposed to...
But they're not. They should be
collaborators, allies, and market opportunities. You know, only your most dire direct competitors, you know, who do exactly the same thing as you should be treated with that edge of suspicion.
We put together a proposal yesterday for a company. I can't get into the specifics of exactly what it is. So we talked about 5 or 6 different content parts of the content plan. SEO was only one of them. So SEO is one, and then we have an inbound. We literally called it an inbound workflow. So what happens with the traffic when it comes to the site, so the pop-up and then the email sequence and all that stuff. Then we have how do we convert that traffic, and, you know, that we capture their email address. Now, how do we convert that into a trial or a demo in this case? And then we have what's called an outbound workflow, which is, hey, somebody gives you your email address, right, because they came to your site. And then, oh, wait, this is Greg at JohnsonandJohnson.com. Johnson & Johnson is one of my customers. Let's see who Greg is, right? So now we've created, now we're building out an outbound workflow for them. Then we have partnerships like we just talked about in terms of like building out, you know, newsletter exchanges. We have an email list now of a couple thousand people, so we could do list exchanges with them and again get more people into the email sequence, get more people into the outbound workflow. And then we have then the last but not least, we have founder newsletter content where we take the words of the founder and turn it into a weekly newsletter series, right? So all of that, I think, is under the purview of the, is going to be under, like, again, I hate to use the word the SEO, but like, it's under the purview of the content marketer / SEO manager. But only one little part of that was actually like SEO, where we're going to be like, hey, let's go after this keyword and let's go after these. We're going to build links and we're going to acquire traffic in that way.
Yeah. I think it's a bigger picture. Bringing it back to revenue and about that conversation, how do you value your time as an agency for fulfillment of that?
Yeah.
And engaging, is it, you know, do you calculate, you know, does there it play a role in how much revenue you could potentially gauge and potentially generate from that? Like that gets super squishy.
We productize our service, so it doesn't get squishy for us at all. Like, we're not trying to so this guy was basically like, I was on the phone with him yesterday after going through this proposal, and he was like, hey, listen, why don't we do a bonus of like this after this? And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to work with you for an extra $5,000 right now. I want to work with you for the next like I want to work with you for the next 24 months. Like, so like, don't worry about like, don't who cares about that little bit of money. Right. Like, so we productize the service. So it's like, you know, if everything that we talked about is like a $10,000 to $15,000 a month engagement kind of thing.
So when it comes to,
if you just want to buy
directionally, yeah. Instead of valuing engagements directly off of like an hourly retainer,
we don't do that. No. We don't have
need to shift your model and expectation. Not be like, okay, well, we've got 15 hours and we'll do X, Y, and Z, or Z, Y, and P. Instead, you're saying you need to productize what it is that you're doing in this vein, and then allow yourself to build bundles of
because
A, B, and C.
My product. Job is to be like, listen. Our service is $10,000, right? Or $15,000 a month. Here's how you're going to make $45,000 to $60,000 a month. That's what my job is. You know, and it's going to take 3 to 5 months to get there. So here's your initial upfront investment. But then after that, here's how you're, you know, but by month 4 or 5, depending on like how, obviously like 6, whatever, how competitive the keyword, how competitive the industry is. But like a lot of this stuff, again, isn't SEO related. So it's not time sensitive, right? Like we could get started on conversions and email sequence and partnerships today. And then while we're building up the SEO, about building up the contents. So our job is to be like, here's how you're going to make $60,000 this month off of your $10,000 investment.
You know, that puts a lot less pressure.
And that's what I sell.
Puts a lot less pressure because, you know, if you're only looking at a sheet with a list of SEO of keywords in a cluster, and you're calculating out of this cluster of keywords, how many can I reasonably rank for and how much revenue could that potentially come from? There's still huge assumptions of that conversion rate. And then how much of that conversion from lead into sales occurs. And those are very hard to control. And then it becomes a complicated process of guesstimating it. Well, how long does it take for an article to be successful to get that much search volume?
Exactly.
And there's no genuine way to answer that because you and I know, like, you probably created, 100 articles in the past month. How many have fizzled that you expected, hey, this is great content, and it just...
Yeah, it's 50%.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Easily.
Like, that I have to, like, I haven't looked, but it's about 50%, yeah.
Yeah, so if at least half of the content you create fizzles from a large volume of SEO perspective anyways, and then you can't quantify that.
But the content that fizzles is usually, I will be honest, the content that fizzles is almost always the content that the client wants me to write because of a particular reason. Large amount of search volume, whatever the reason. The content that we want to write where it's like pipe drive alternatives or SEMrush alternatives, those ones we rank almost every time.
Right. So it's almost more like...
Our bottom of the funnel content ranks almost every single time. It's the top of the funnel content where we're like almost never. Because, and that's for a variety of reasons. It's because like the content that's there is already good enough. It's super competitive. It requires a ton of links. So, and Google really appreciates, as far as I could tell, they really appreciate content that has been there for a while. So yeah. If yours isn't really, really, so if yours isn't much better than what's already there, then you're going to have a tough time.
So from a business of SEO perspective, we're basically saying the inherent reliance on just search volume to generate the model of SEO, it needs to become only a part.
Yes. Like,
and kind of a more of a even... like a hand-wavy kind of part. And then it kind of hurts because I made a tool all around search volume. But
I don't think it's hand-wavy at all. It's not hand-wavy. Like, that's just disingenuous. It's just a part, and that's it. Like, it's just like I said, like, in our proposal for this company, it's one-fifth of the work that we're going to be doing. That's...
Yeah.
But it can't be 100% of the work that you're doing for a company, because if it's 100% of the work that you're doing for the company, then you're going to be obsolete.
I think it's about I think maybe one of the biggest impacts I'm feeling or thinking through right now is the audience access and retention
is more important.
It's more important than the
acquisition, for sure.
It should be, and we shouldn't treat Google as the eternal fountain that we're trying to constantly tap into that flow. We want to, because it's way, you know, what is that stat? That it's way easier to sell via email. Like, the conversion rates off of email are way higher. So
For sure.
As far as like treating the site and the search and bringing it in and then trying to capture and recirculate that audience and build that audience so that you can continue to profit off of that piece. I think that piece of it has been lacking in most of my clients.
Chet Holmes said that in any given audience, only 3% of the marketplace is ready to purchase right now. That means that 97% of the people, and honestly, I think that's high, because the most I see in like that's the ceiling of what I see in most of the best converting articles is 3%. But usually I see about 1.8 to 2.2% of like a converting article. So we wrote an article for a company. It ranks. It gets 1,500 to 2,000 visitors a month. It converts right now 2.2%. That's about that's where I see most of the articles, right? It converts 2.2% of all traffic into users, into paying customers. What we did was we said, okay, cool. Let's keep those 2.2%, but let's also capture as many of the other 97.8% of the people who are not converting, right? That's thousands of visitors a month that are not converting. So we're like, okay, so let's put a pop-up here. Let's try to give them some more content, right? And let's get them onto an email list that we could recirculate. And now that article is converting. We're still keeping about that 2.2% of the people who are not, but we're adding an additional 6% of the traffic to our email list that we're able to recapture and remarket to down the line. So they're doing now monthly webinars, they're doing email marketing now, things like that. And that one article is now going from 2.2%, now could go to like 3%, 4%, right? So you're adding literally thousands of dollars in revenue per month just from thinking about, hey, Google isn't the only traffic. Let's talk about retention. Let's talk about keeping these people into our ecosystem. And now we can go up. Now we can generate even more revenue. So search is important there. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, it's the only thing.
That's hard to hear. But you're right. I think, you know, like the towering ego of being me wants to say, no, I did all of this work to learn SEO to bring this traffic, and I know how it works, and it will always work this way.
I think it's just go learn the other half of it, right? Like we opened this conversation, I'm a terrible SEO. I don't know anything about the algorithm. I have no idea what EAT means. I don't care about HCU. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Penguin is. I don't know any of this stuff. All I know is that I could get traffic by creating content, building links, and then once I get that traffic, I know how to convert. I can know how to convert that into customers, and I know not only that, I know multiple ways to leverage that traffic. So now, again, this company now has an email list, right? Because we're converting thousands of visitors into their email address, email list every month. So now we're going, hey, let's, you know, partner A, we have 5,000 email subscribers. How many you got? We got 3,000. Cool. Let's do a list swap. Awesome. Now that 5,000 visitors become 7,000 visitors, 7,000 email addresses and 7,000 people who, and another 2,000 people who are exposed to the software and things like that. That's all it is. It's just, we're starting to leverage these other entities. Search is sort of like the tip of the iceberg. And then once we get into the tip of the spear, and then once we kind of get some depth, we're like, oh, okay, now we could leverage all these other things.
I think that's fair. Let's, top this off with two action items. Let's say that you're an SEO and you're either a freelancer or working at an agency. What does that conversation look like talking to the boss, the head of the department, the agency, or the client? What does that next two recommendations to spread that out, to change the model, to start tapping into those things?
Yeah. First of all, it's whatever your KPI is in marketing, you're probably new users, new trials, new MQLs, whatever it is. This is how we're going to 3x this or 2x this, 2x our current users, 2x our current MQLs, 2x the pipeline we give to our sales team, things like that. So that's the first thing, right? Like don't think about traffic. Don't think about keywords. Think about revenue, because that's all your CEO cares about. That's all your client cares about, is how much revenue are you going to bring in? And then the second thing I would say is create a list of things that you can do that are quote unquote easy and things that you can do that are hard. Okay, so for instance, creating an email sequence is relatively easy, right? So instead of getting one touch point, we're going to get 7 touch points over the course of the next 2 weeks. That's relatively easy to do. Something that might be hard to do is, or easy, this could be easy or hard. If you have a strong network, then creating partnerships is very easy, right? Like you just be like, hey, Jeremy, you and I are friends, dude, let's do an email exchange, right? Like that's a no-brainer for us. If I don't know and have a strong network, then doing partnerships is a little bit more challenging. So start ranking like a bunch of items. LinkedIn content might be easy. Growing a LinkedIn network might be hard, right? Like start thinking about all the things that are easy, all the things that are difficult, you know, start to rank them, put them on like a little, you know, your little business school matrix here, low effort, high impact kind of matrix, and start kind of formulating a plan that way in which you can say, okay, this is going to generate the most revenue with the least impact, with the least effort. This is going to generate not a lot of revenue and take a lot of time to do. So start thinking along those lines as well.
But thanks so much for the business insight on SEO.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's have another conversation soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Take care.